Go to the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 11. 1 Corinthians, chapter 11. And we're going to preach about the Lord's Supper, and then we're going to have the Lord's Supper tonight. It's called the Lord's Supper Communion. It's a time where, as I preach, you'll understand this tonight. It is a time to where we remember what Christ Jesus done for us. Many different denominations require you to do it at certain times, maybe weekly, maybe monthly. But the Lord does not say that. He says as often as you do it. Now, the Church of Christ will tell you you have to do it every week. As a matter of fact, they'll tell you you have to be baptized to be saved. I'm glad I didn't have to be baptized to be saved. I'm glad I don't have to keep communion to keep myself right with the Lord. But He says, for as oft as you eat this bread and drink this cup. So we understand that we do need to do it. It is something, it is one of the ordinances of the church. It's something that the Lord gave us, and that what we need to do. I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet tonight, if we would, read First Corinthians. As we stand to our feet in reverence to reading God's Word, if you can tonight, I'd appreciate it. And I do desire your prayers this evening. I'll be honest with you. I feel okay, but I tell you, I'm still in that barrel, and I know I don't sound all that good. But you pray for us tonight. The Lord will help us. And I just want to give you what God's given me tonight about this. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight. We thank you for this wonderful day that you've allowed us to have a great Lord's Day. And we've just come to worship you tonight. I thank you for the choir singing this evening. I pray that it has honored you and blessed your name tonight. But Lord, as we preach on this subject tonight, on the Lord's Supper, I pray that every heart in that would see the importance of partaking of it, but I'd really understand what this time is about, that it's more than just eating a little piece of bread, drinking a little juice out of a cup, but it's what you've done for us so that we could be saved. And Lord, I pray tonight, I can't make these folks see that, and I can't even make myself see that tonight. But Lord, with the help of the Holy Spirit, I know that you can do that. And if there's somebody here lost tonight, see, boy, gets to see in you, and boy, gets to see in theirself. Boy, it'll change them. And Lord, I ask tonight that they would do that they'd see you, and that they'd see theirself, and that they need to get saved tonight, come and trust you to be their Savior. I ask tonight if somebody has a need, I may pray that need be met. Maybe there's some sin in their life. Maybe there's just something they need to do between you and them. I pray that be fixed tonight. We'll tell you again that we love you. Thank you for the help you're going to give us now. I pray somebody would get some help. Say that sooner nearest tell. For these things in Jesus' name we do ask and do pray. Amen. And amen. As we look at 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Look in verse 17. The Bible said, Now in this I declare unto you, I praise you not, that you come together not for the better, but for the worse. For first of all, when you come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. For there must be also heresies among you, that they which are approved may be manifest among you. When you come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating, every one taketh before other his own supper, and one is hungry, and another is drunken. What, have you not houses to eat and to drink in? Or despise ye the church of God, and shame them that have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. For I have received of the Lord that which I also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take ye, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. He said they went on to be with the Lord. They've died. Verse 31. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that you come not together unto condemnation. And the rest, well, I set in order when I come. Be seated tonight. As the Apostle Paul was dealing with the church at Corinth, if there has ever been a carnal church that God wrote to, it was the church at Corinth. There's something going on all the time at the church at Corinth. Now, I always found it amazing that they still got some work done for the Lord. If you'll read that over there, they still got some work done. Even as carnal as they were still struggling in doctrine. They were struggling in that in their growth in the Lord, and they were very carnal. And right here, the Apostle Paul, as he starts with them and talking about the Lord's Supper, he talks about, first of all, their heresies. That is untruth or unsound doctrine. That is things that is taught that is not biblical. And the Apostle Paul, he said, I'll not praise you for this. He said, I believe there's divisions. And he said, I believe there's heresies among you. And I've always wondered how could folk come together if they're in heresy? And if there is division among them, how can they sit down and take part of the Lord's Supper together? Listen, if there was divisions in this church tonight, if you were against somebody or I was against somebody, or you were against me and me against you, friend, I'm going to tell you, partaking of this Lord's Supper tonight, I just wouldn't do us a whole lot of good. And the Apostle Paul, he says right here, he says, I believe there is some heresies among you. And then he begins to tell them about the Lord's Supper, and they had really taken and messed the Lord's Supper up, if you let me say that. It had become a disorder and disarray. Can I tell you tonight that this is a very solemn thing and a very great thing tonight as we partake of. Now, it can't save you, and it can't keep you saved. Jesus Christ does that tonight. Any man, woman, boy, or girl that'll come to the Lord Jesus and ask Him to save them, thank God He'll save them tonight, and He does to keep them. But this is something that He has required tonight. So the Apostle Paul, he said, for when you come to eat, he said, look, it's not to have supper. Listen, it's not to have a great party, if you let me say that. He said that you got one taken before the other. Some's drunk. Some ain't even eating. Ain't even partaking of it. As a matter of fact, he comes down here in the latter part, and he said, wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, he said, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home. This supper ain't made to get you full tonight. This supper ain't made to partake, if you would, as a regular meal. But this is something special tonight that I think we need to understand about. And so tonight, as we preach on the Lord's Supper, just a few things that I want to look at before we partake of it tonight. It's something that the Lord has commanded us to do, and I believe that is something that we need to do. So the Apostle Paul, he begins to say in verse 23, he said, for I have received of the Lord that which I also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus the same night in which he was betrayed. And so I ask tonight that Judas come and betrayed him and kissed him on the cheek. And here's what he done. He took bread, and the Bible said in verse 24, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This shall do in remembrance of me. The Lord Jesus was celebrating and at the Passover, and that with his disciples. And let me say this again. Most of y'all know where I'm headed. It was no accident that the Lord Jesus Christ, the very Lamb of God, was crucified at Passover time. Listen, he was and he is the Passover lamb. Thank God for that tonight. Shed his blood so that me and you could get saved. He said, and after the same manner, he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread, drink this cup, you to show the Lord's dead till he come. Number one tonight, in why we partake the Lord's Supper, the reason of the Lord's Supper, I believe that we need to see the agonizing that the Lord went through. I believe tonight as we partake of this a little piece of bread and drink a little bit of juice from that cup tonight, Listen, I believe that we need to remember that Jesus shed his blood so that me and you could get saved. Nothing good that me and you done tonight, friend. Listen, there's nothing good in you. What is it, Isaiah 64:6? For all our righteousness is filthy rags. Romans 5:12 said, wherefore as by one man I sin in the world, death by sin. And so death passed upon all men. For all have sinned. Romans 3:23. I said that for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But praise be unto Jesus. Friend, as we look at this little cup tonight, as it comes by, listen, I want you to think and add about the shed blood as they took him. Well, first of all, he goes over to the Garden of Gethsemane and his sweat become as great drops of blood. But as he began to pray, and then they come and got him, and Judas betrayed him, and they took him and they tried him and found him guilty. And listen, even when they got him to Pilate, Pilate said 3 times, I find no fault in this man, but yet they cried out, crucify him, crucify him. And so Pilate, not willing to please the people, took Jesus and scourged him. And that's all the Bible says about that scourging. But if you ever studied about a Roman scourging, friend, they took him and tied him up and began to beat on him mercifully. I mean, Isaiah 52, I said his visage was marred more than any man. I believe that he didn't look like a man. Friend, he was beat and beat and beat. And then they made him carry his cross up Golgotha's hill at a place called Calvary. And there they drove those nails in his hands and in his feet so that he and that could shed his blood and hang between the heavens and the earth and build a door. Praise be unto God for me and you so that we go to heaven. Amen. One day after a while. Boy, that tickles me tonight. You know what I do a lot of times? You know what I do? I forget there's a man called Jesus. I get so involved in church and dealing with people, I forget who got me to where I'm at tonight. There's a man called Jesus. Amen. And he was real, man, and still is real. Boy, I'm glad he found me. Yes. Or was. But he agonized. He agonized. You realize it's his blood. He said that when he shed it, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. That Old Testament. The Old Testament economy was the blood of goats and of calves. But listen, he was shedding his blood yonder at Calvary so that wouldn't have to be done no more. Boy, I'm telling you, when God, and I ain't telling y'all nothing you don't know tonight, but I'm telling you, when God looked down from heaven and boy, seen his blessed and his precious son, his very darling son that hung between the heaven and the earth in open naked shame over there, boy, I'm telling you, it thrilled his heart. Can you imagine God looked down? And the Bible said in Isaiah 53, that boy seeing the travail of his soul, God was satisfied. Yes. Boy, God said, that's enough right there. He said, look, he had shed his blood. And his blood was perfect blood. His blood was precious blood. And boy, I'm glad tonight it's saving blood. Amen. Boy, when we see the Lord's Supper tonight, we need to see his agonizing. As he went to Calvary. Boy, they took him and they whipped him. They took and platted that crown of thorns upon his head. And I mean, as they platted them things and set him up on his head, they took that reed, that rod that was in his hand, and beat them things down on top of his head. I heard one preacher say one time, and I dare say it's the truth, and he said them thorns didn't want to go in his head. He said them thorns didn't want to press down in his head. They knew who he was. And thorns knew who the very Son of God was. And by the way, you ever think about that for just a second? What brought on them thorns and them thistles, by the way? Think about that for just a second. The sin that Adam committed back in the garden, it was them thorns come because of Adam's sin. And boy, because and I tell you, we're all born into sin. So they took that reed and they beat down upon his head as they mocked him and as the blood ran down his face and down his beard. And the Bible said in the book of Psalms that they'd grab his beard and they'd pull it off. I heard one fool say one time, he's talking about how that Jesus was clean shaven and they had to get up there with a magnifying glass and some tweezers, you know. That's the dumbest thing I ever heard in my life. The Bible said they'd grab it and they pulled it out and they pulled his beard out. I pulled his mustache out and I mean just beat on him unmercifully till the blood flowed. Well, I'm telling you, the songwriter had it right in the Redback book when he said there is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. Sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains. Revelations 1 and 5 said, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Boy, I'm glad to be clean tonight. I'm glad to be clean before the Lord because of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He agonized. I remember the first time that I ever seen the type of the Passover lamb in comparison. Just a young preacher, and I remember the first time that I, and I'm sure I'd heard that type, but it had never clicked with me about Christ being that Passover lamb. In 1 Peter 1, 18, verse 19, I remember hearing a preacher preach on this. And boy, I'm telling you, that thing just come alive in my heart. And he said, for as much as you know that you're not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Boy, I remember hearing the preacher preach on that as just a young preacher. And boy, it changed my whole outlook on who Christ was. I'm telling you, it really did. You say you didn't know that? In my mind, I'm sure I did. But boy, I'm telling you what, God burned her down in my heart that day. And boy, showed me that he was that lamb that they had all the way back in the book of Exodus that brought them out of bondage out of the land of Egypt. Over. You know what brought you out of bondage tonight? The shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Listen, you're saved tonight if you're saved because of that blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The agonizing of the Lord, seeing his shed blood. I want you to look at the suffering that he went through. He said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Imagine all the agony that the Lord suffered through as they beat on him. Think about it. Now, I know he shed his blood, but imagine. Listen, he was in the same flesh that me and you's in. He was just 100% man, 100% God. And you ask me how that is, I ain't got a clue tonight. But I know it's true. You ask me how the Trinity works tonight. How that you got God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. I ain't got a clue tonight, but I know that it works tonight. Amen. The Holy Spirit resides in my heart. And boy, he's helped me more than once. But listen, I know it's true tonight. But listen, he said, take, eat, this is my body. So as he goes, he's given himself. And that for us tonight. Do you realize that he gave himself as a sacrifice for us? I want you to take your Bible tonight and go to the book of Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah chapter 53. You should know what this scripture is about. This is what that eunuch was reading when Philip come up over there in the book of Acts. And he said, understandest thou what you read? And he said, this is where it gets exciting.
Yes.
He said, how can I accept some man? Explain it to me. And the Bible said, and Philip began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus.
Yes.
That's who Isaiah 53 is all about. Read with me. Who have believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground, he hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, and acquainted with grief. Well, I remember there was a song that we used to sing growing up in church, Man of Sorrows, what a name for the Son of God who came. Boy, if I could sing it tonight, I would. But boy, I'm telling you, he was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. I think some of the very few times that the Lord ever smiled was when them children would come around him. And he had blessed them children. I believe the Lord smiled right there. I do. I believe that. You can believe what you want to. But I believe when them kids had run up to him and boy, know who he was and know the one, I mean, they'd heard what Jesus could do. And boy, I believe he'd smile. But you know, much other than that, he was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. And he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Now watch this. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. You see that right there? He's wounded for our transgressions, our sins. He suffered in the body. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes were healed. Oh, we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every man to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Do you realize that as Jesus was going to Calvary, and I don't know where it happened at. I don't know at what point that God applied all the sin of the world. The past sin, the present sin, and the future sin. All sin was applied to Jesus that day. I don't know when it happened. I kind of think it happened when the lights turned out. That's what I think. Now you can believe, again, I'll tell you this. You can believe what you want to. But I believe that when God turned away and it became as dark as midnight in the middle of the day, I believe that's when our sin was applied to him. The Father in heaven, when Jesus cried out, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, which is being interpreted, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? I believe that was the time when he had applied our sin to him. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Amen. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shears is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living, for the transgression of my people was he stricken. When he had opportunity to defend himself, he never did. And it was for us that he done that. He made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Look at verse 10. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. Ain't that amazing? I've always found that verse. You read verse 9. Said, because he had done no violence, neither was there any deceit in his mouth, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. I could see where it pleased the Lord to bruise me. And I could see where it pleased the Lord to chasten me. I could see where it pleased the Lord to beat on me. Because I ain't nobody and I ain't nothing. I'm just an old sinner. That's all I am. But Jesus had done no wrong. But yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. And when thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. Looky there. There it is. He shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He's going to make his soul an offering for sin. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. And that's what he done. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, wasn't he? Boy, they hung him between two malefactors up there, didn't they? Huh? Just some wicked men hung him up there, didn't see him no different. And he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. He not only bore our sin, but he made intercession for the transgressors. You know, he still makes intercession for transgressors today. Boy, I'm telling you, any man, woman, boy, or girl that needs to get saved can come and fall down on their knees and bow their head and bow their heart and ask Jesus to save them, and he'll do it. I'll be honest with you, the night that I got saved, I didn't know much about that. I know that I was lost, and I know that I needed to get saved. But I really didn't know a lot about getting saved. But I know if I asked him, he'd do it. That's what I knew. That's all I knew. I'll be honest with you, that's all I knew. And all I'd done was come and found myself before an altar and asking Jesus to save me. But he gave his body. He agonized in his body. But then I want you to look at what the Lord achieved. I want you to look at what the Lord achieved. You know, for us, as he went and he died and he shed his blood and he gave his body, do you realize that he redeemed us? That he bought us? He done something that nobody else or anything else could do. Listen, as Brother Fred preached there just a little bit last week, he got to talk about them sacrifices for a minute and talked about how that those sacrifices just pushed sin forward one more year. And just pushed it forward one more year. And just pushed it forward one more year. But boy, when it came to Jesus, he paid it all, didn't he?
Amen.
We sing that old song sometimes, Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Boy, I'm telling you, we owe him tonight. He redeemed me and bought me and paid for me. I'm not my own, but I don't belong to the devil anymore tonight. I don't belong to me, but I don't belong to the devil either. Hey, he's got me tonight. He redeemed me. The Bible said in Colossians 1 and 14, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Let me tell you this tonight. If your Bible said, in whom we have redemption, even the forgiveness of sins, you need to take it and throw it out and go buy a King James Bible. The New International Version will take out through his blood. But I'm glad tonight that, friend, he paid for me and got me. The Bible said in Titus chapter 2, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the God, the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto us a peculiar people zealous of good works. He not only redeemed us, but Christ Jesus. Now I'm talking about what do you see when you take of this. I see that I've been reconciled back to the Father. Boy, that's something big tonight. You read Genesis chapter 2 and chapter 3 over there. The boy God created man out of the dust, out of the dust of the earth, and breathed into him the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And I believe that if you read this scripture, you understand that Adam and God, and by the way, when he created Eve by taking that rib out of man, after he put him to sleep and woke him up, and there was a woman, the Bible said that God called them both Adam. They were one flesh, wasn't they? So God called them both Adam. It was Adam that called woman Eve, because she's the mother of all. But you'll find that there was a time that God's voice would come down in the cool of the day, and they fellowshipped in the garden. But there come a day when God's voice come down in the cool of the day, and Adam wasn't nowhere to be found. He was hiding out. Why was he hiding out? Because he had sinned, and he realized that he was naked before God. And God, after he finally caught up with Adam and with Eve, he said, who had told thee that thou wast naked? And Adam, and in his wisdom and in his greatness, he said, Lord, the woman that thou gavest me. At first he said, did you partake of the tree that I told you not to eat of? And then he said, Lord, the woman that thou gavest me, she gave me the fruit of the tree and I did eat. And the Lord looks at the woman and says, what have you done? And she said, the serpent is the one that brought it to me. Everybody else was playing the blame game. But do you realize that day, that cut Adam and Eve and all humanity off from fellowship with the Heavenly Father. But what Jesus had done, not only redeemed us and bought us and paid for us, But he reckoned. You know what that word reconcile means? That means to put back on a friendly state. Colossians chapter 1. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. By him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. Not only did he reconcile the Gentiles back and that to God, and the Jews and that back to God, but he reconciled me. It gets personal, you see, friend. I've got a heavenly Father. We stood around the piano the other night, and most of you was gone, but some of us gathered up around the piano, and that was one of them old songs that we sang. What was it? I have a heavenly Father watching over me each day. Oh, yes, I have a heavenly Father. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are. By the way, let me say this. If you leave early, you never know what you just might miss, friend. We had a good time. We were here for about an hour, I guess, for service. And we was here for another hour and a half, just about gathered up around the piano. We was having a good time. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. We're reconciled because of the Son, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, with that God was in Christ reconciling the world, look at here, unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. We're to reconcile others unto Christ. What Adam lost, Jesus got back. He is my reconciliation. He achieved something. But then I want you to see, now I'm talking about the reason why we have the Lord's Supper. He agonized. We see the agonizing of the Lord. We see the achieving of the Lord. But then we see the appearing of the Lord. He said, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death. Till what? Till he comes. When I partake of this little piece of bread and this cup, I'm not only remembering what he done, but I'm remembering that he's coming again. He's coming to get me. He said, we do show the Lord's death till he comes. But I'm telling you, he's going to come and get the church one day. He said, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In the moment, the twinkling of an eye. Well, I'm telling you, at the last trump, you know, we'll be gone out of here. Ain't that something? 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, as the Apostle Paul is talking about the rapture, the catching away, the gathering of the churches. I'm not having to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you saw or not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, that is the gospel. That's the gospel. Even so, them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with. I had a fellow, we was talking about the end time doctrine the other day. And he's going to an all-millennial church. In other words, when time's over with, it's over with. You know, God destroyed the earth. There's no 7 years tribulation. There's no antichrist as we know it. And he said, I don't understand what that's got to do with getting folks saved. I said, that has not a whole lot to do with getting folks saved if you don't know the whole truth. I said, we're going to preach Christ and him crucified to get folks saved. But I said, by the way, the end time doctrine is in the Bible. And if it's in the Bible, I think the Lord would want us to know about the end times. He said, well, never thought of that. He said, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. He's coming to get us. Colossians 3 and 4. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, and then shall you also appear with him in glory. He steps out, we're there. That almost seems unreal, don't it, tonight? I wait for it. You know, there's some days I sit around and I wonder, well, could today be the day that Jesus comes again? Now, some days I don't even think about it. But there's some days that I'll be driving down the road and I think, man, what if he stepped out right now? We'd be gone. But do you realize that he's coming again to this earth? You read in Revelation chapter 19 where he comes and he sets things right. Job says that he'll see him. He said, for I know that my Redeemer liveth and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. You read Revelation chapter 19, he's coming back to rule and to reign. Revelation 20 says he's coming back to rule and reign. Satan's going to have an end. Those that refuse Christ is going to be judged. And everything's going to be made just right. Those are the reasons for the Lord's Supper. But then number two, I want to look at the requirements for the Lord's Supper. Can I tell you, first of all, you need to be saved. You need to be saved. He said, wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthy shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat that bread and drink that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drink damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. 2 Corinthians 13:5 says, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. That jumped off the page at me one day when I was preaching on how to know that you're saved. How do you know that you're saved tonight? Well, I went down and asked Jesus to save me. All right, that's good. I got under conviction and the Lord moved and I went down and asked him to save me. But how would you prove it? If you had to prove your salvation, how would you prove your salvation? He said, prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus is in you except you be reprobates. Do you know there's some telltale signs in that to salvation? What was one of the first ones? We looked at it this morning in that day of salvation. 2 Corinthians 5:17, I was quoted a few minutes ago. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away, and all things are become new. All things are passed away, and behold, all things have become new. You know, there'll most definitely be a change when you get saved. Do you know you'll want to please the Lord when you get saved? Do you know he'll hear and answer your prayers when you get saved? Man, there's just some things that take place. You need to look in your heart, see if you're saved tonight. But then you need to be right. Let me say this. If you ain't saved, you can come and get saved tonight. But bow down, knowing that Jesus died for you and rose again for you, knowing that you're lost, ask him to save you and he'll do it. But then you need to be right with the Lord. He said there was some right here. He said, for he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drink damnation to himself, not serving the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. We do need to judge ourselves. We need to examine our life and see where we are with the Lord. You say, preacher, you tell me to be perfect. I'm telling you to strive to be perfect and keep sin out of your life. But I'm telling you, face something between you and God tonight, you need to deal with it tonight. What was it? Lamentations chapter 3. Let us search our ways. Let's search and try our ways and turn again to the Lord. I'm glad little John tells us over there that he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins if we'll bring them to him. The Lord's Supper, it's an important... I believe you need to be right with the Lord to partake of it. I do, and I'm glad you can get right tonight. If you ain't right, you can get right. Listen tonight. When we partake of this here in just a little bit, I want you to remember what the Lord Jesus done for you. how he agonized for us, how he achieved something for us. But one day he's going to appear. But right now, friend, we need to be right with him. You need to be saved. You need to be right with him. Let's bow our heads across the house tonight. We won't have no music. We won't have no singing tonight. But I'm going to ask you tonight if you need to come. Maybe you need to get saved tonight. Maybe the Lord has spoke to your heart and showed you that you're not saved. Showed you that there was not a difference, that you're still the same old person that you was. You've just polished up the outside and you're still the same old person. If you need to come tonight, I want you to, if you need to come and do some business, well, I know you can do it right there and I encourage you to do it right there, but if you need to come and slip up around this altar, I want you to do that.